Oh my goodness. You know, I've been thinking about this moment for quite a while. I just came from the United Methodist Church and shared a little bit about missions there and scooted over here. And during the announcements time, a woman shared, she'd just come back from Arizona or something. She said, you know, just like the Wizard of Oz, there's no place like home. And I giggled to myself. And so when I got up and talked, I pointed at her and I said, ma'am, come with me for a month to Africa and that will have a whole new meaning to you. Well, you know, it was hard for us to leave in a lot of ways, and but this is our home, and this is our fellowship, and it's always great to be with you and see your faces. And you know, God is so faithful and good in everything that he does. I think about the passage that says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. And boy, I think our group learned a lot about our Lord, about ourselves and our relationship with him, about how we're to relate with the rest of the body in different parts of the world despite their situation and how we look the same or different. And so, remember in all the pictures and everything, the stories that we share today, and the group, I'm just going to ask them to be patient, and when we're done with the pictures, if they want to come up and anything they want to share, I warned them a little bit and said, please, please. And Linda is here over there. Linda, you know, I just want to thank you for, one, putting up with me for longer than the rest of them. We went over 2 weeks ahead of time, and then the group came, and they were kind of in-house there for a week, and then they came home, and I went on to Ghana and spent time with an old friend of Tim and ours. You know, Tim, 35 years ago, and when I got out of the airport and went out, and you have to go through the crowd of people, you know, and he's there and he comes up to me and he grabs me, and Ken, you'll appreciate this because I thought of you immediately. We hug, and it was just like yesterday, but we were 35 years older, a little bit of the pot belly, some gray hair, you know. And I said, John, and he said, come with me, brother. And he grabs my hand, Ken, and this is typical of India, and you know, he grabs my hand, two grown men now, and it was just love and friendship. That's what it is. He grabs my hand and we're walking across the parking lot, and I'm thinking, is he gonna let go of my hand or not? And I thought, I said, this is great, because I used to tease Kenny about it. He goes, no, I don't know if I want to do that. But so at any rate, I had a fantastic time, and it was very timely for John and Tina and his family. And but for the sake of art and the team here, we'll keep our focus primarily on the Malawi time and so forth. And I just want to read a scripture, and then we'll pray, and then we'll kind of get to things. This is Luke chapter 6, verse 38. And it says simply this, and this is a passage we know, and it goes beyond money. It says, give and it will be given unto you. They will pour into your lap of good measure, pressed down, shaking together, and running over. Give and it shall be given unto you. And I think of the verse that all of us know, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he what? He gave. Father, so grateful. Grateful for your mercy and your kindness to the nations, to us here in Albion, New York, and Orleans County, in this region, this country, to the people of Malawi, to the people of Ghana, the continent of Africa, all the nations, Lord, the 8 billion people that walk this planet. Your heart and mind is upon them in every moment, even as it is on us. Father, I just take a moment here too as well to pray for the United Methodist Church and the things that were shared there with them this morning, that the gospel truth would penetrate and land on good soil there, and that good things will come in that church body even from our time together. Lord, be with this time. Help us to be effective and efficient with the time and the pictures and the testimonies and all. And just be honored, Lord. Be the centerpiece of everything here. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I wish you could have been with us as a group when we would sit around, usually at night, you know, the lights, it gets dark about 6 o'clock every night, sun coming up about 6 o'clock every morning, and the generator would go on, and so we'd have an hour or two of light, and we'd sit around and eat in the building that we were in, the room. It's right there in the compound with the kids. Remember, at Upendo Children's Village is an orphanage, and there's a school for the primary age kids as well. So the kids are all there. And about 50 or so, Linda, is that about right? About 50 kids at this time. And so they're there around, and when the group came, the school was out. So they were around. They were there the whole time, which was kind of planned at the same token by us to be an opportunity for us to be around with the kids. But at the end of the evening, we'd sit around, we'd have our meal, and the kids were still kind of snooping around outside the door on the patio, kind of waiting for us to come out after our meal. But we kind of arranged to have each one of us share a little bit about what's going on in the day and some of the feelings. And Linda and I had some great conversations just about missions and all of that stuff before the group came. But when the group was here, each of us in different places, different experiences, you know, going into this. And I was impressed with the depth of our group. You know, I'm looking, the Sugars are right in front of me here, and there's Isaac and Leo and Dane are not here this week, right? And Linda with us. Is Leo here? Oh, great. And Roger, I'm glad you're here. Thank you. I was impressed with them. And I'm telling you that as your church body here. First of all, thank you for everything you did, for your resources, your prayers. Things went extremely, and they'll giggle when I say that, extremely smoothly for all the potential problems. Nobody got sick. You know, I can say transportation. We had a few hiccups there. That was kind of interesting. But it was good and healthy relationships. Do you remember the time when Florence, it was the last night we were there, and Florence brought a meal for us, and she was kind of sitting down at the end of the table where I was, and we were all gathered around, and the meal was kind of done. And Florence, if you understand, this is Bishop Samuel's wife. She A-type personality, but quiet around us. And the meal got done, and she started, she was asking some questions, and I just happened to be across from her, just about life and when things are difficult and so forth. And the table, I could tell, was kind of listening in, because it was just kind of out of character for her to do that. And we shared our hearts, you know, as best we could, and she was vulnerable in that moment. And I thought, and the gang stepped up. You know, it would have been easy to be intimidated a little bit by this person or Bishop Samuel, but I was just impressed with the maturity of our group and sharing with each other and what are we taking away from this? You know, it's not the differences, it's not the poverty, it's ourselves. What is he as Jesus pours us out as an offering? Paul talked about that, being poured out as a drink offering. And we did the communion here. It was a wine. In the Old Testament, they used to pour the wine after they did a sacrifice in the Old Covenant. They would pour wine on it without realizing this is a symbol of Christ who would fulfill that sacrifice of the Old Testament. And here was this, the same thing, the wine being poured out. And when we allow ourselves to be poured out as he pours ourselves out, not as we pour ourselves out in the way we want to, but as he pours us out, there was an image in my mind of an empty glass that this is being poured into, this wine. And I thought of this scripture for this morning. You know, when we give, he gives back to us. It's like he's pouring us out. And what is he pouring out? His nature in us, he's pouring it out, and he's pouring it right back into us as well to be filled up even more. Pressed down, shaken together, right? It's that much better, right? And this is the principle, I think, of missions and just living in relationships. We just happen to be on another continent where we're learning these things. Trust, this isn't new to me, this, you know, the missions thing and the bucket baths, and that's not new to me, but these truths were new to me. You know, there was a depth to it. Matt and I shared a, you know, bunk, and we had some good talks, I think, about, what's that? What's that? Oh, yeah. Yeah. separate nettings. We were in separate nettings. But just good conversations, just healthy things that in the end weren't about them. They were about us and what he's doing in us. Because it's easy to pick out things and say, why is that happening? This, that. But when you give yourself to him, he's glad to pour into us. And so I was grateful to the group for their willingness to serve and be filled up with God's perspective in his heart. To Linda, as I started to say earlier, thank you for your leadership with us and being willing to take on this vagabond group, you know, and feeding us. And we Linda and I had a great 2 weeks prep, getting ready and getting the place ready. I was even hanging curtains. Where's Pat? That's something new. I was hanging curtains and getting them buckets for their bucket baths and just, you know, netting for their bunk beds and getting them a bunk bed, all those kind of things. And so just wonderful stuff and very grateful. And again to you as the church, we, as I said before we left, this is our congregation going, and you went with us. We were tangibly there, but you were there in prayer and support, and we wish you could have been there when they were passing out that 800 pounds of stuff in an orderly manner, clothes, the Crocs, you know, there were a bunch of those, the flip-flop kind of things, toiletries, toothpaste, soap, diligently passed out individually, dresses to each and every one of the kids as needed. I'm going to say this. If I get through this without tearing up a little bit, I woke up this morning at 3:49, and that's just time zone thing. We bounce around time zones like it was marbles, you know. And so I'm trying to get it together from that. But I woke up at 3:49, and I was crying, I was asleep. And in my mind, though, whether it was a dream or not, I thought of three individuals from the trip. And I'm not going to, maybe I'll share about one of them, but I'm not going to get into the stories because I know I'll break up a little bit here. And it's not about them. It's about what the Lord was teaching me through those people, okay? I cannot emphasize this enough, and maybe they'll share the same thing. One was Nicholas, who they'll know, who was kind of the poster child of the place. He was just a good boy, had an overbite, willing to serve, smile on his face, about 12 years old, just a good boy. And I, because we were there a couple of weeks early, he took me out on some, you know, when I had to go someplace outside of the compound, he would take me and we'd get to talk and learn a little bit about his life, and Linda would fill me in on his background. And I'll just say this, when we got in the car to leave, it was early. It was like 6 o'clock, and so Bishop was out there. This was the one time they were early. They were there at 5:30 when he said 6. Every other time, it's half an hour late or something like that. And that's just how it is. Irrelevance of time. The time doesn't matter there. So we're kind of scurrying, and Bishop's ready, and we got one of the cars packed. I said, "Well, let's go. We'll hop in the car real quick." And the kids are starting to scoot around a little bit. You know, it's early. And I get in the car, shut the door, and it's the old way, so the driver is on the right-hand side and the passenger's on the left. So I'm on the left, and we're getting ready to go. I said, okay, let's scoot, Bishop. And he starts, and Nicholas comes, and I'm looking at the sugars here, and you guys, because you know him. He comes running up, and Al, this is the Pascual of Guatemala, okay? You get it. He comes running up, and the window's up, and he puts his hand on the window. It was one of those moments. Like I said, it wasn't about Nicholas. It was about the two worlds that we lived in. Kenny, do you remember flying into Bombay and the boy sitting outside the gate of the slum area, just sitting there looking at the, and we're thinking, what is in his mind? And it was the same thing here. What is this boy thinking? And I'm thinking, I'm just crushed. I'm crushed because I'm leaving this kid, and you want to rescue everyone. And that's not the answer. Christ is the answer in him. And honestly, that boy had more joy than I did while we were there. He did. That was Nicholas. I'm doing well because I didn't bust up right there. I'll just give you another one. This was in Ghana. John Sudi, he's got a school there, similar situation, compound, and a church made up primarily of those children. nice place. And we're gathered there, and of course, with John, he's got me going. You know, every day it was in the classrooms, teaching, preaching, all over the place. And I just wanted to sit down with John, just love him, you know, just be with him. And the church is going on, and the kids come in, and the kids, he's entertaining me. He has all the kids go up on the stage. He says, let's sing a song and doing this. And I see a girl kind of come up last, and it's a girl with Down syndrome, which for me is personal because of my family. And her name was Juliana. And John looked at me and he said, you okay? I said, I have a Down syndrome child in my family. He called her over, Juliana. She comes over and she's probably 16. She wanted a picture with me. So we take a picture, and that's just gold to me. That picture is gold. And I sent it to Debbie, my sister, who has a Down boy. I said, Debbie, this is a highlight of my day right here. And so later on, a couple days later, we're driving around and we're coming in a back way into another village. He says, Tim, I'm going to take you to Juliana's house. I want you to see where this girl lives. And so I'm thinking, it's the dirt road, potholes all over. And so we get to the it's a vendor shack along the road, you know, it's very typical. And he rolls the window down, it's on my side. He yells out, John yells out, Juliana! And she, you can hear the rustle inside behind this shack. You can hear the people, and they come running out. And Juliana is then right on the windowsill, and she's looking right past me. It was like I wasn't there. They are so enamored with John Sudi and what he's done for that family. He lets her come to the school without paying. And the mother comes out, and the boys, and they're just Googling all over John Sudi. And that right there said something about John. He said, well, their sister went to school with me. She's now going into nursing, and they were so grateful that the school would do that for her, that we allowed Juliana to come. He said, this is just a typical family, and they live in nothing, and you're leaving them. And so it's people, right? It's relationships. It's giving, and when you give, you become vulnerable to good things here or anywhere. Faces, I'm just going to do this quickly. Faces at the compound at Upendo. Anna, remember Anna, always wanting to tell you her story, right? She was another poster child for the girls of the school. Fantastic. Nicholas, Yosefi, who by his teacher's own account said he's brilliant. He could go to any university in Malawi they don't want to. He'll get perfect. He's got great grades. They were doing the state testing at the time. And Lynn and I were talking about him, and he'd never been to a library. Here's a kid that's brilliant, and we were talking about his future. What's he going to do? Where's it? What, you know, he wants to do certain things, and it's just difficult for them. They don't have that planning in front of them. And so Lynn and I got in a taxi with him, and we took him to a library for the first time in his life, and he's 19 years old. And he's devouring it. He's looking around. And so I brought some books to take back with you next time you go, Linda, for him. Yosefi. Here are some names of people. This is just fun. Some of the names of people we met, whether in Malawi or Ghana. Blessings, wisdom, witness, patience, given. Given was a souvenir guy. That was given. Adorable. These are their first names. Nice. They had the nice restaurant down the road. Nice. Precious, who Isaac Sugar met, who was a big, large African man. He was all man. There was nothing precious about him, right? We were up in the mountains at the time. Scared me a little bit. He said, oh. Sunday. How about that for a name? Sunday. Peter Pumpkin. The rest don't know, but these are inside jokes for us. Then the boy that came in and was introduced as Shadrach. And then we were teasing him about, the Bible is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He says, well, my name is really Shadrach, Meshach, and then whatever his surname is. And he goes by Meshach now. He says, I'm older now, I'm Meshach, or not Shadrach, I'm Meshach. I said, well, when we come back again and you're in college, you're probably going to be Abednego, right? He goes, well, we'll see. We'll see. All right, some people. Bishop Samuel, Mama Bishop, they called her. And Linda is Go-Go. She's the Go-Go. She's the grandma, which is Florence, Mama Bishop. Pearson, Bishop Samuel's brother, Martha, who was helping around there, the mamas, these are all the ones in the different dorms with the kids, and they're cooking and they're scrubbing and everything along with the kids. The teachers that would come. We got to meet some of the teachers in the secondary school as well. Austin and Jane, that's who you went up as a family to meet, who I've communicated with quite a bit since. And the security guard. Did any of you ever get a good look at him? Yeah, interesting. Just interesting. So let me give, and I know you want to see, you don't want to hear me talk, but this is for them, okay? This is as much for them. Here are some sights and sounds. Are you ready? And Tim, some of this is going to come back to you. I'm sure it already has. The street vendors, bucket baths, mosquito netting, rain on the metal roofs, roosters crowing, women carrying any number of things on their head, and the guys on their bicycles hauling any number of things of great length or height. The kindling, the wood, had to be 8 feet high, stacked high, on his bike. Oh, okay, we'll see it. Potholes, bicycle taxis, Chitipa, that's for Linda, Livingstonia. By the way, David Livingston, the missionary there, that a lot of you might be hear that name, I asked in the school, do they know about, in the classroom, do you know about David Livingston? Oh, he's like a hero to us. He's all over our history books. And I thought, what? Our school could take some lessons. When we were at John Sudi's church, the school day started. Are you ready? This was a school day. They come into the auditorium, you know, little area. They go up on the stage, and the day I was there, they sang Amazing Grace and then asked me to give a little Bible study with them. This was the start of the school day. And I thought back to my classroom here and what I cannot do. Lake Malawi, Linda and I have some great memories from Lake Malawi when we went there. She met a new friend there, and I won't talk about it. Yeah, see, that was worth it right there, that laugh. Sugar cane, car breakdowns, heat and rain, and in Ghana, excessive humid heat just brutal, brutal. The irrelevance of time, driving with Bishop Samuel. That was a treat. Calculating kwacha into dollars, in your mind trying, you know, the exchange rate. Red clay and sand soil, community soccer games. We'll see some pictures there. That was good. The Sunday service with Bishop Samuel, lively worship, and the bishop's animated preaching. I mean, he gets after it, right? I'm trying to think. We were talking about this. What would that be like every week? It's one thing for us to go in there, and I heard it a couple weeks in a row, and I wonder, you know, every day or every Sunday what that would be like. Because you go and you see things there, and you think, oh, we need to bring that back here. And we'll extrapolate the curve a little bit. What would that look like every Sunday here? Honey dripping from the ceiling. Beehives. Witchcraft, the sound of the generators, the water pumping, chopping of the wood, kids serving us constantly, pumping the water for us. Little Nicholas one day early on, I was outside the red clay, it was raining, and it was a lot more rain before you guys came, and I'm just knocking the clay out of my shoes, and he comes, I don't know where he came from, it's raining. He comes running out and grabs my shoes, and he's trying to polish the shoes. He's gets a stick, and he's trying to pick the dirt out of it, you know. Just, yeah. School day I'm going to back away from Ghana because there was a lot there. Rotary meeting, went to a Rotary meeting while I was there. The president of the Rotary meeting was the head of the Presbyterian Church in Malawi, and that was interesting. We had an interesting conversation because we were talking about the church back home and some of the liberal push that way, and he says, yeah, we've held off there a little bit, but he says it's being discussed here. So even in Africa. Here was a fun one, and then we'll get to the pictures. The in the secondary school there, and Linda, you can confirm this for me, maybe even in the primary school grades, they have a class on the Bible. It's the government class. Like science, math, English, and Chichewa, or whatever the language, they have a class on Bible. Is that right? And the teacher was showing me their national exam on it for grades 10, grades 11, grades 12. Do they do that in the primary as well? Anyway, I at some points I get it. I was a little embarrassed because of, I mean, it was Shadrach came in and we were looking at his test and it was on Isaiah and there were some things in there. I don't know. You know, they're studying a book or, you know, might be Isaiah and Luke and Acts and they're in 10th grade and different things. And it's multiple choice and it's the government test. And maybe there's something there. Maybe we should go back to singing Amazing Grace to start the day, right? All right, quickly the what we did. Clothes, toiletries, the shoes distribution, Cheryl Knapp's bags for the girls were a big hit. Repairing bunk beds and school desks, painting the dorms with different varieties of quality of paint, right, Linda? That was fun. New roofing for the kitchen, which I hope has happened. Dana's fingernail and toenail polishing shop, I call it. She just had girls all over. And I thought, that girl has seen more African toes. And I thought that. Anyway, I'm going to admit something. I wasn't going to, but I'm going to admit it because it's funny. When we were in Ghana, John Sudi's daughters, who are about 30, were so thrilled that I was there, an old friend of John's. I mean, they just treated me like gold. And they bought me this shirt because they knew I'd be talking. They said, please get a picture with Pastor Tim so we can see the shirt and see what Tim looks like. So, and they don't know it, you know. They were babies, if anything, when they were here. So they were very kind, but one of the daughters ran a little shop in town there that had clothes, and in the back I noticed it was like a massage table or something. And so the last night the girls had gone into Accra, they were there, and they told their dad, when Tim gets back, send him down to the shop, we've got a surprise for him. So John says, just go down, just walk. So I walk down, I'm going into the shop, it's woman's clothes, you know, it's just a little thing. And I said, so, and the girl's name was Jennifer. I'd met her before. I said, Jennifer, John said to come down. Rachel said, got something for me. She says, oh, yes, yes. And so, you know, it's always, yes, please, yes, sir, yes, please, you know, those kind of. So I sit down, and she pulls out this tray to give me a pedicure. Never in my life had that ever happened to me. And I probably wouldn't have done it if I'd have known. And she said, take your shoes off. I had flip-flop. Take your shoes off, roll the pants up. And we're in the front of the shop, so if people come in, they see this gringo, you know, getting his feet done. And I was like, please hurry up. This can't take more than 5 minutes. 15, 20 minutes, she's doing scaling, you know. I was like, really? That's coming off my feet? I'm not kidding. She's done. And I'm embarrassed even saying this because mission trip and you gave and here I am laying, you know, getting a pedicure. And she goes, go into the back and there's a table there. Take your shirt off, lay down, put your face in this whole thing. She gives me a massage. I got to stop talking about that because I get a little weird even thinking about it. But that's a confession to you because I'm sorry. Sorry. So, the boys' soccer games, you know, Isaac Neidert and Leo were constantly playing soccer, even doing drills with them. And Leo said to me one time, he said, you know, those little guys out there handle the ball better than a lot of our varsity soccer players because that's all they're doing, right? Matt and Sharon sharing the experience as a couple. That kind of stood out to me a little bit. And I thought that was and Dana and Leo the same, being able to go together. The Bible studies, lots of ministry things, the Upendo cell group that Isaac, I think, shared at. But the biggest work was done in our hearts. All right, let's show some shots here. Let's pray. You know, what Sharon was sharing is just the heart of it. Father, thank you for the blessing of allowing us as a church to go to serve and to be served, to pour out and to receive from you. Lord, as we give, you give back to us in far greater measure. And we're grateful. We pray for Bishop Samuel and the church. We pray for the ministry there. We pray for Upendo. We pray for the school, their education, their futures. In Jesus' name, let this relationship between Harvest and Upendo be a blessed one and an eternal one. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you, everybody. You are dismissed.